Good Monday. Today is January the 27th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the U.S. Treasury, the FinCEN program, and beneficial ownership interest back making headlines once again as the Supreme Court now has weighed in on that, as well as some other injunctions around the country. We'll share the details coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
A U.S. Supreme Court ruling on Thursday will not immediately force millions of businesses to now file the beneficial ownership information reports, according to the U.S. Treasury officials. The High Court overturned an order from the U.S. District Court for Eastern Texas from December that had frozen the Treasury Department's rule for filing beneficial ownership information with the Treasury Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN. Still, there is a separate nationwide order issued by a different Texas judge that remains in place. Because of that case, the Treasury Department is currently not requiring companies to file their BOI details with FinCEN. The BOI rule affects more than 32 million businesses nationally, including an estimated 230,000 farm operations, and the rule stems from the 2021 Corporate Transparency Act, which requires businesses to provide their business information from state incorporation reports to FinCEN. The law was passed to curb financial crimes such as money laundering and fraud, and the initial deadline for the current businesses to file those reports was supposed to be January 1st of this year. That was initially put on hold by the Texas court. Well, in other agricultural news, a quick calendar reminder coming up on February the 5th from 9 to 4 will be the Northwest Ohio Agronomy Day held down at the Bavarian House in Deschler. It will contain a lot of educational sessions as well as fertilizer recertification. That part of the program runs from 2 until 3. They'll also cover pesticide recertification for categories core 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you've got questions or would like more information, contact Alan Leininger at the Henry County OSU Extension Office, 419-592-0806. Now, if you're just looking to do your fertilizer and pesticide recertification and not all the other agronomy programming with it, coming up on Monday, February 3rd, down in Van Wert County will be their fertilizer and pesticide recertification training. That runs from 9 in the morning until 1 o'clock. 9 until noon is the fertilizer recertification training, core categories 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then from noon to 1 will be the fertilizer recertification. If you've got questions, you can contact Curtis Young. His number, 419-238-1214. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the National Aeronautic and Space Administration, or NASA, are two federal agencies that work together in a myriad of ag, food security, natural resource, and climatic realms, and it's a partnership that some may not realize exists, let alone what the collaboration brings. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
From studying climatic changes on Earth to growing fresh produce on the International Space Station, there is synergy between two federal agencies that perhaps one would not expect, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Yet, as Brad Dorn points out,
NASA's been involved in assessing agriculture on this planet since the early 70s. We've been working with people like USDA, farm producers over the years to really understand and provide better information about agriculture and food supply.
Dorn knows about the collaboration of agriculture and space from the perspective of both agencies. He currently serves in NASA's Earth Science Division as Program Manager for Applied Sciences, Water Resources, and Agricultural Research. And prior to that, he served as a Division Director within the Office of Global Analysis for USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service.
I support supported the integrating satellite data into the WASD process.
USDA's monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, in which various information resources such as satellite and weather imagery, field observations, and government data are used to create forecasts and estimates of major crops from across the globe. So what are some examples of USDA-NASA collaboration? Dorn says one involves the U.S. Drought Monitor.
Through our climate sensors, we're able now to understand groundwater changes much more effectively than we ever have in the past. We now provide a data product from our Goddard Space Flight Center to the U.S. Drought Monitor that provides, at the same time step as the U.S. Drought Monitor on a weekly basis, groundwater, root zone soil moisture, and surface soil moisture products for the entire nation.
NASA's GRACE Climate Satellite provides soil moisture information to users from USDA to farm media outlets. NASA also provides open access software and technological products based on satellite data for use in various applications, including agriculture on Earth. For example,
our OpenET product that we work with irrigation managers that really helps us understand water use so that a farmer or irrigation district manager can look and input this product into their own irrigation management system and help them produce water supply information or water demand information on their crop that they've never had in the past.
Media coverage regarding NASA in the food and farm space has also focused on advancements in nutritionally sustaining astronauts on missions. Those remembering the Apollo moon missions and the days of freeze-dried ice cream and Tang orange drink may marvel at the ability to grow tomatoes and herbs on the International Space Station. And Doran believes the interest and research in growing food in space is now at an upward trajectory.
The minute we started getting serious about going back to the moon, getting to Mars, you just saw the wheels going, that we got to eat when we're there, we got to be able to sustain our astronauts while we're getting there. And I can tell you from our experiences, the amount of effort that's going into that, and a big partnership is with USDA in that process. And whether it's tomatoes right now or more sustainable things as we move in the future, that's only going
to
grow.
Also expected to grow, the capabilities of NASA satellites and information technologies to further define sustainable agricultural practices and methods, such as no-till and producing cover crops.
What you're going to see now is these impact assessments. We're going to try this management practice, or we changed crops. Over the past few years, we're understanding the nuances, changes not happening uniformly over the earth. Some changes are impacting different types of crops differently, and some different types of cropping systems differently. Those that rely on snow for their water supply versus those groundwater and those rain fed all have different issues that they're dealing with.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.